Somebody say amen. And turning with me to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 52, and then we're going to go to Isaiah 55. And this has been burning in my spirit all week long. And I'm looking forward to God doing something this morning. Amen. When you have it, would you say amen? For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. Let me break it down, Pastor Panero's rendition. He will go before you, and he's got your back. He'll be your reward, your re-reward. Isaiah 55 and 6, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let's just skip down to verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought. God is in control. Yeah. God is in control. I know there's some people that like to pretend like they're in control, right? All the daddies in the house say amen. But mama's really in control. But God is in control over everybody. Always has been, always will be. If you're thankful that you serve a God that's in control, would you just love the Lord right now? Would you just thank Him? I thank you that you're in control. You're in control of everybody, everyone, everything. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you as you are seated in the name of the Lord. Control is to exercise restraint or direction over, is to dominate, command, or command oversight. Control is oversight. When we see that word seek, when it says seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near, to seek is to follow, is to be diligent in searching, to ask. Specifically, it means in that rendition to worship the Lord. It was some time back that I was a little frustrated and a little disappointed in a situation that I had been praying and fasting for. And the Lord did answer my prayer, and I'm thankful for that. A no is an answer too.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, if you haven't learned that revelation, you're going to frustrate yourself and you're going to get a lot of no's until you get that revelation. So I would just say amen anyways. A no is an answer to a prayer too. And so I was okay with it, but it was a little hard to swallow. And through it, the Lord did reveal to me many things, several things. And as I was driving my car, the Lord impressed me on this scripture that we read this morning, that the Lord goes before us and he is our re-reward. He goes in the front of us and he's got our back too. And so it was comforting and reassuring to me, again, that God is in control. There's a lot of people, no doubt, that we work at places and sometimes we wonder who's really in control. Who's running the place? I'll just leave it that way. It's who's running the spot. And I know that sometimes we have doubts and we have frustrations. I understand that there's a lot of things that we face ahead of us as believers in the church and out of the church. But we serve a God this morning that is in control. We have a God today that is looking down upon us, and he knows exactly where we are at. He knows exactly where you are living. He knows what you've got in your bank account or lack thereof. He knows your credit score. He knows your medical history. He understands the very path that you're walking, and he is in control of everything. There's not a person, place, or a thing that the Almighty God, the King of Kings, is not in control of. Sometimes we limit him and we do a great job of hindering him and frustrating the process. But he is in control whether we like it or not, the God that we serve is in control. Somebody say amen. Amen. A little bit more monitor, just a little bit, Brother Andrew. The things that we pray about and the things that we've prayed about that we may have even forgotten about, God doesn't forget about those things. It's not news to Him that somebody talked about you. It's not news to Him that you got a pink slip. It's not news to Him that you lost a client, that you got a little bit sicker, and you thought you were getting better. It is not news to God. The God that we serve is in control of everything and everybody. I would to God that we would get that revelation one more time again and understand that the God that we serve is sovereign. He can do anything for anybody at any time because we serve a God that is in control. Fear is one of the things that we at times may deal with. The emotion of fear, by definition, it is a distressing emotion. Fear is something that causes a feeling of dread or apprehension. We oftentimes feel or see fear when it's related to the unknown, when we're not sure. We would rather go back to something that we know than sometimes move forward into something that is unknown, even though what we're going back to isn't the best for us. At least we know a little bit about it. Fear is something that we've all dealt with and perhaps we'll deal with at one point in time in our lives. I believe it's something that we as a society, we struggle because with fear because we like to be in control. We sometimes can short circuit the answered prayers and blessings that God has for us because of fear. The people of God need to remember that we serve a God that is in control. Even when you are out of control. You ever make that statement, I feel like I'm just losing my mind. Things are out of control. Even when you are out of control, even when things seem to be out of control, God is always in control. How many are thankful this morning for that revelation once again that we serve a God that is in control? Even when you are not able to keep things in control and keep things together, God is in control. He's always been in control. Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Hey, when we are weak, He's in control. When we are in despair, He's in control. In fact, the scripture tells us in Isaiah 41 and 10 says, I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee. If there's ever been a time for us to be encouraged about anything in our life, it would be this Bible verse right here. It says, hey, don't be dismayed, for I am thy God. I'll strengthen you. I'm going to help you. I'll uphold you. Wonder, look around and say, well, who's going to help me? Hey, God's going to help you. Well, you don't know what kind of help I've had in the past. Look what the scripture said. God is going to help you because we serve a God that is in control. And if God helps you, you don't need the help of anybody else because He's a God of all possibilities. With some people, it's limited, but God is limited and He's a God that is in control. God is in control this morning. I learned a long time ago and many times over and over the last 4.5 years that even when I cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel, He is still the light that shineth in the darkness. Come on, somebody. You may not be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel, but He is the light. He is the light of the world. And we could just sit back on that train ride of revival as He leads us and say it's getting dark and it's moving too fast. But hey, God's in control this morning, saints of God. We serve a God that is in control of everything. Being God is what He's best at. Yeah. Amen. He's best at being God. We just need to be best at being a worshiper and trusting God. So in serving, I worship. And in worshiping, I worship. It's much easier to go through life when you understand again, that God is in control. So much easier. We can micromanage events. We could micromanage people and things. And we do it. We can plan and prioritize and be proactive. We can train, we could save, and we can work harder. But God is still in control. He causeth the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He calleth the stars to come out, and he causeth the waters to move back and forth. He's got the sand over at all the beaches in the world. He's got that under control. There's not a bird that falls from the heavens that he doesn't know that has fallen. And that's a God that we serve this morning. A God that is in control of your life. If you surrender to him, it's a whole lot easier to walk down the path of righteousness. It's a whole lot easier to live life when you know that God is in control. Notice something. It was the Apostle Paul who was isolated and confined to a Roman prison for being a Christian. Yeah. He was in a cold prison cell when he penned the scripture in Philippians 4 and 6. He says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto man." Ah, unto God. Unto God. We'll make our requests known to one another before we talk to God. Yeah. Do we do that? Have we done that? Are we doing that? But he says, let your requests, let me know about your requests, is what he's saying. I'm in control. Will they sign the checks? Well, they may sign the checks, but he's in control. Well, they do the x-ray. They may do the x-ray and interpret the x-ray, but God is in control. Let your request be known unto God. And notice this. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ. Have you ever said, "I feel like I'm losing my mind"? Well, the scripture says, keep your heart and your minds on the Lord. You may be losing your mind, but if you lose it in the hands of the Lord, it's all right because he's able to put it back together. You see, I feel like my heart's about to stop. Let it stop in the presence of the Lord, and he'll keep making it beat over again. He can revive us. He can restore us. He can make us new again because he's a God that is in control.
Right.
Notice this, and I'm just building a foundation for something. God gives us peace because he's in control. John 14 and 27 says, "I give you peace. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. He is so much a God that's in control that he gives us peace which surpasses all understanding. You ever made the statement, "Man, I just don't understand it"? You don't have to understand it. He'll give you peace which surpasses all understanding. That's the God that we serve. He's got your future taken care of, and he's got your back. Say, "Yeah, I'm worried about my past." Well, he's got that covered too. He is a God that gives us all understanding and all peace. He's got us covered from top to bottom, from the past of our life to the present to the future. We serve a God this morning that is in control of everything. When I begin to think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, we begin to realize over and over and over again that we serve a God that is in control. Anxiety creeps in. You may lose sleep. You may indulge in Dreyer's ice cream. But you got to remember that even if your hair falls out, he is still in control because we serve a God that is in control. He's got the future. He's got the present. And he's got the past covered. Tell your neighbor, let go and let God. Notice this. Our Heavenly Father is so amazing. Some of us, our teeth are like the stars that come out at night. But look how amazing our God is. Look how amazing our God is. Psalm 147 and 4, it says, "He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by name." That's hard to do. Because it's hard for us sometimes to remember the name of somebody that sits in front of us. But real talk, right? It happens.
Yeah.
Nobody shouldn't get offended over that. But he calleth all the stars by their name. How about this? Matthew 10 and 30. "The very hairs of your head are all numbered." But it gets better. It gets better. The God that we serve is in control. For there's not a word in my tongue, the psalmist says. But, oh Lord, thou knowest it all together. All together. It was Joseph who for many years faced what seemed to be like one struggle after another struggle. One defeat after another defeat. One disappointment after another disappointment. Joseph's great-grandfather was Abraham, the father of the faithful. His grandfather, Isaac, was a humble and a man of steadfast character. His father, Jacob, or what we would know later, Israel, wrestled his way to becoming a prince with favor with God and with man. But Joseph had to walk his own path to learn for himself that he served a God that was in control. You notice in the scripture, our very introduction to Joseph, he's 17 years old. Scripture will tell us he was feeding the flock of his brothers, with his brothers, his father's flock. And the scripture says that he brought his father their evil report. He brought the evil report of his brothers to his father. Genesis 37 and 3 says, "Now Israel," or Jacob, "loved Joseph more than all of his children. And he made him a coat of many colors." Verse 4 says that the brothers saw that the father loved Joseph more than them. And they hated him. They hated him so much that they couldn't even talk to him or speak peaceably to him. Verse 5, it says that Joseph dreamed a dream. Notice something. None of this was Joseph's fault. He was 17 years old. He was still in the formative years. At 17 years old, and I know there's some 18, 19, 21, 22-year-olds that would disagree with this, but some of us know better. You have much to learn at 17 years old. You're still growing. And if you're of the male species, your mind is not, and emotions are, is not even fully yet developed. But the love that the father had for Joseph and the coat that was made for him and the dreams that Joseph had was not his fault, but his brothers hated him. That's our introduction to Joseph. And as time and things would progress, his dreams, we see that his dreams would develop and he would share those dreams with his brothers. He would share those dreams with his father, and his father, the scripture would say that his father observed the saying. But in Genesis 37 and 11, it says his brothers envied him. Envy is another feeling. It's a feeling of hatred and jealousy mixed together. Hatred turned into envy, and before you know it, it was Joseph was asked to go run an errand for his father. See what was up with his brother. And as he is coming, they nicknamed him the dreamer. They conspired together against him. Notice this in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 24. "And they took him, they cast him into a pit or a cistern, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it." This was the hatred and the envious nature. The feeling, envy is a feeling, it's an emotion that these brothers, his own flesh and blood, his brothers, the one that were supposed to protect him and teach him and nurture him and love him. This is not how brothers are supposed to treat one another. We are not supposed to be envious of one another. All the haters are supposed to go to church somewhere else. But in this place of worship, we're supposed to be helping and loving and provoking one another unto good works, as the scripture says. But this was his flesh and blood. He was the younger brother. The Bible says in Genesis 37 and 27, they say, "Let us sell our brother to the Ishmaelites." The brothers were content with that, the scripture says. Notice that. And his brothers were content with that. They were okay with that. Genesis 28, 37 and 28 says, "And they sold Joseph." So here we find this young man, Joseph, being sold to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. What a disgrace. And they brought Joseph to Egypt. Remember, Joseph is a Hebrew. He finds himself betrayed, belittled, emotionally probably confused and frustrated, violated, afraid, in an unfamiliar area, a new language, a new country, and he's treated as a servant, gone from the favored one to a servant. And then when we read again in the scripture that he's sold again, as if being sold once is not enough, but being sold twice. Being sold by your brothers was bad enough, but now being sold by the people that bought you. How emotionally and mentally distraught this young man may have dealt with. But we serve a God that's in control. Notice what happens. He's sold. Genesis 39:1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian. Now Pharaoh was the boss. And this Potiphar bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. And they brought him down. But notice what happens. See, you didn't know this was in the Bible. If you were reading your Bible, you would have read the story. There's drama in the Bible. You don't have to go looking for it. It's in your Bible. Genesis 39 tells us in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man. Verse 3 says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hands. That's the God that we serve. A God that is in control of everything. And if you surrender to Him, it's a whole lot easier to go through life surrendering to God instead of surrendering to man who can only destroy the body. But you gotta remember, we serve a God that can destroy the body and the soul, that He leads us down the path of righteousness for His name's sake, because we serve a God this morning that is in control. Joseph was going to learn that, and I hope we learn that this morning. Even when people openly betray you, lie on you, conspire, they cover it up, they backstab, they talk about, they mumble things under their breath that they would never say to you and to your face. They kick you to the curb. They're envious of you. They're jealous of you. They hate on you. Notice this. God will go before you, and He's got your back. All the praisers say amen. Amen. God's for you. So much of everything changed for Joseph, even while he was in the land of his affliction.
Yeah.
Think about that. Notice this. Genesis 39:5. And it came to pass that over the process of time, notice this, all that Potiphar had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. You know that even the heathen will be blessed because of you? Think about that. Some of you are working at places and you're wondering why you're there. Well, you think maybe if you weren't there, maybe the place would close down. You ever stop to think maybe the place is open and you're getting that paycheck because you're still there, because God is in control. That's the God that we serve today, saints of God. You got to understand, there's nothing too hard for God. Never has been, never will be, because we serve a God that's in control. The heathen were blessed because of Joseph, and they knew it. And in the process of time, Joseph catches the eye of Potiphar's wife. Scripture says Joseph was good looking. Verse 7 of chapter 39 says, and it came to pass after these things that the master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth what is, pretty much the master has given me control and say over everything in this house. But notice what he says in verse 9, you're his wife. And how can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? And she would try to get him to commit adultery with her time and time again. We would read in verse 10. But he finds himself in a situation where the temptation was there, but he ends up leaving and running from the temptation. And he's accused of something that he didn't do. We got to understand something. God is still in control when you're accused of something that you didn't do. And God will never be mocked. And so what a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I would tell somebody here this morning, if you're going through something and you've been accused of things, that it's an accusation. Can I tell you, God will go before you. And he's got your back, and he's in control, and he's always been in control, and he's a God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. You don't need to worry. His thoughts and ways are our thoughts and ways. And guess what? He's going to take care of you down the road. He'll take care of you today, and he'll make sure he handles what is left behind. Notice in Genesis 39 and 20, Joseph's master took him, put him in the prison, and he was bound in the prison. Just think about if this was your life. I mean, how much more could a person take? But when you're serving God and your ways please God and your intentions and your behaviors and your life is aligned with God and His Word, you don't have to worry. Tell your neighbor, don't trip. Bible says in Proverbs 16 and 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Because we serve a God that's in control.
Amen.
Joseph was in prison accused of something that he did not do. But look how awesome our God is. Genesis 39 and 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. He's with him. And showed him mercy. Ha! And it gets better. And gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Notice verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. This tells us that Joseph was a man of integrity. Integrity. And notice this. The keeper of the prison didn't look at anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Let me remind us all of something here this morning. It doesn't matter what you're going through in your life. It doesn't. If you're living your life according to the Word of God and your ways please the Lord, He's going to take care of you. Always has. Always will. David testified about it. He said, I've been young and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Saints of God, we serve a God that is in control. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't either. But I know who does. So I'm going to give Him my worship. I'm going to give Him my praise. I'm going to give Him my first fruits. I'm going to give Him control over the things that I've been trying to control, micromanage, trying to keep my hand on. I'm going to give it to God because He's a God that is in control. Try to cover up your past. Hey, He's got that taken care of. Try to plan for the future. Hey, He's got the future taken care of too. He's in control. Joseph blessed others because of his faithfulness. Joseph understood that there was a God that was in control. Let me share something with you. Did you realize we read the story of the Exodus and Moses? The Egyptians, it's powerful. Do you know why all that took place? Joseph is the reason why children of Israel ended up in Egypt. Yeah, he's the reason why. Read your Bible. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, in that order of leadership. Joseph's going to end up being the reason why the children of Israel end up in Egypt. A man of integrity, a man of faithfulness, a man of high regard, that no matter the situation he was placed in, he knew that he served a God that was in control. We don't understand a lot of things. Why we go through some of the stuff we go through. Hey, I was just having a dream. God gave me the dream. I shared it with my brothers. They begin to hate on me. And before you know it, I'm sold. I'm in Egypt. I don't understand the language. I'm immigrated forcibly to a place. There's hard work. I'm a slave. I'm embarrassed. I'm humiliated. I've got all these emotions and things going through. Guess what? But he was faithful to God. We don't see anywhere where it says the Lord abandoned Joseph. Nope. It says over and over again, the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord blessed Joseph, and the Lord prospered Joseph, and the Lord blessed those that were associated with Joseph for Joseph's sake and for the Lord's sake. Can I tell you, God's got your past. He's dealing with your present. He's got the future already taken care of. Somebody needs to remember God is in control. You got to surrender to Him with all of your soul, all of your heart, all of your might, and all of your strength today. Joseph started out having dreams. We read that. And he's in prison. And his prison mates have dreams. Two of them in particular. A butler, or we would know it by definition later on as a cupbearer, which was a position of prominence during that time. And the baker. And they have a dream. Right around Genesis chapter 40. And he interprets both of these dreams. And just like some people that say, hey, if you help me, I'll help you. Call me. I got your back. Well, this didn't work out for Joseph too well because they forgot about him. So he's in prison for two more years. But there, you can learn this principle here. Joseph started helping other people with their dreams before he saw his dream or dreams come to fruition. Think about that. But somebody in position of power, like Pharaoh, had a dream. And then Joseph was remembered as an interpreter of dreams, which was a gift, by the way, that God gave him. And so he is summoned because the magicians and the wizards and the phonies that were with Pharaoh could not interpret his dream. So they called Joseph and he interprets the dream. And I'm hurrying to get to my point, but Joseph interprets the dream and testifies and says, there's going to be 7 years of famine and 7 years of prosperity. That's what the Lord is saying. And so you need to appoint somebody to manage this process. Somebody of high regard and integrity and with the wisdom. And because Joseph served a God that was in control, Pharaoh appointed Joseph to be that position. So here we have Joseph, who is now the second most powerful person in Egypt, making decisions. Joseph, the man that people would have to come to get food, they would have to bow on one knee before Joseph. Still the same man, same young man that was thrown into the pit and that was envied at and hated on by his brothers. Still the same man, but he, through the process of time, began to grow and to develop and mature and was faithful in the things that God positioned him for. Faithful in Potiphar's house. Can I tell you, some of us have got big dreams, and I'm one for big dreams, but we got to be faithful with the dreams that God has given us that are small. And the scripture says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. And as the scripture tells us, you know what? We got to rejoice with those that rejoice. When you see somebody else achieve their dreams and God does something wonderful for them, you ought to be the first one in line to high five, to hug them, to brag about God and brag about what God has done for them. Because we got to remember, God is in control, and He sees the haters and He sees the congratulators. And I want to be a worshiper in the midst of it all and serve a God, because we serve a God that is in control. All of the shame, all of the disappointment, all of the past, all of the missed opportunities and memories, the betrayal, the conspiring, was about to be revealed. Joseph was a blessed man, but he had to live with all that stuff that was in his mind. You don't think Joseph dealt with resentment, bitterness, hatred, getting even? Whoo! Pride? Look at me. Look what I've done. Think about this. His family was about to be reunited. Chapter 42 and chapter 43, 44 and 45. There's a whole process of testing. I'm skipping a lot because I'm assuming most of us have heard this story or have read it, or you'll go back this afternoon and read it this week. But Joseph tests his brothers, and they didn't know who he was, and there was a lot of time. Remember, he was 17 years old, and by the time we get to his elevation, he was approximately 30 or so, 33 maybe years old, and God just took care of Joseph. But the famine that was taking place affected everybody. It affected the people that betrayed Joseph. It affected his father and his brothers that hated him. And so they come to Egypt because Jacob says, I hear there's food in Egypt. Go get some food so we can eat and not die. And they go and, whoo, fast forward, Joseph is the boss. They say the best payback is, or the greatest revenge is success. Well, Joseph was about to live that. But we saw the man of integrity and faithfulness and how he dealt with it all. Notice this. By the time everything comes together, this family, Jacob's family, including Joseph, they had traveled all this way to Egypt. The family, from what we understand in Scripture, was about 70 strong. Genesis 46 and 26, Genesis 46 and 27 for reference. But because of Joseph's good testimony, because of Joseph's relationship with God, his past, his present, and his future were about to be blessed and sustained because Joseph surrendered to a God that was in control. We don't read anywhere in the Scripture, Mr. Coronado, where Joseph complained, where he whined, where he murmured, where he cried himself to sleep, where he lashed out. In fact, one scripture setting, it tells us that Joseph is in prison and he's telling his prison mates that I'm here for something that I didn't do and I'm a Hebrew and I'm here. I didn't ask to come here. He doesn't make accusation. Can I tell you? When you start accusing one another of things, you're no more like the devil because he's the accuser of the brethren. But what we need to do is we need to provoke one another unto good works. I want to provoke you to love. I want to provoke you to do good things. I want to provoke you to happiness and to joy and to the altar. If there's anything we got to understand in surrendering to God, that He is in control. We get to the story where I'm about to close here in a minute. Joseph is got his family all together. Potiphar or the Pharaoh tells him, go get your family, bring them together. Take clothes with you, take food, take money, take wagons, bring them all together. And you're going to live in a place called Goshen. There's going to be plenty of there for you. If it wasn't for the faithfulness of Joseph, knowing that he served a God that was in control, where would the children of Israel be today? They would have died of starvation. They would have died from the famine. But Joseph served a God that was in control. And notice this. Joseph understood. He understood enough about what he went through and who he served and that he was in a place of influence. He could have destroyed the brothers. Yeah. How would we act or behave in a position like Joseph? Would we raise the sword or would we extend mercy? Well, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said. I was in a pit. I was scared. I was alone. I went to jail. I had to work. Hey, Joseph, God was with Joseph. Yeah. Through it all. God is going to be with you through it all. And He's with you through it all. You think Joseph ever felt alone? Absolutely. Think Joseph ever felt isolated? Absolutely. The emotions that went through his mind and his heart hurt him. I wonder how many times he cried himself to sleep. Said, God, why? What'd I do? Was it the coat? They could have the coat. Was it about material? Was it about my good looks? What was it? Joseph gets to a place of influence. And the scripture says that he sustained his family. He took care of them financially with provision. They got to eat. Now, I'm not saying, Lord, I'm not prophesying, but God help us. God help us. We curse our past.
Right.
We curse somebody else's future or their present because we envy what they have. You don't know what Joseph had to walk through. There's a whole lot. We start out with Genesis 37. There's one chapter about Judah and Tamar, and then all the way to Genesis 50. It's about Joseph. But there's a whole lot that's missing there. We don't know the torment that went through his mind. I wonder if he had PTSD. Real talk. Think about that. I wonder what if he thought of suicide. I wonder if he thought of if he had his emotions were so messed up that he had, maybe he was an insomniac. Who knows? But you know what? We see the end of the story. We see the glory of Joseph. We didn't have to walk down some of the things Joseph has, and maybe you have. But you got to understand, we serve a God that is in control this morning. He's taking care of you. You say, you may be worried about your past. Hey, it's in the past. You got to deal with some things in the past, but God is greater than our past, the scripture says. And He's in our present, and He's in our future, and He's working everything together for our good. His ways, His thoughts aren't our ways and our thoughts. And the scripture says, you don't have to be in a hurry. We don't have to be in a hurry to try to cover up and try to deal with some of the things that's going to take time of maturing and learning and grow. God has got that. You think God doesn't know about us? Scripture says that He's acquainted with all of our ways. Yep. All of our ways as the musicians come. So profound when we get to Genesis chapter 50. So profound. If you have your Bibles, I know it's a little Wednesday nightish right now. This is what I felt in the Holy Ghost all week long. Genesis 50, Sister Victoria, say right around verse 19. His father had passed away. So now his brothers were wondering, what's Joseph going to do now that daddy's gone? Right? It's kind of like what children of Israel, when David passed on, Solomon made some poor decisions. Wonder what Joseph's really going to do now that dad's gone. So they come to him, and they're of course apprehensive, and they're probably got a lot going on in their mind because they had to deal with their sins too. They had to deal with what they did. But so powerful, Brother Robert. Joseph says unto them, hey, fear not, for am I in the place of God? He knew that he served a God that was in control. Think about this. He was the second most powerful man in the world. Or at least in that area. What they had did to him, some of us would say, oh, that's unforgivable. Oh, there's no way, man. Right? Where I come from, woo! We would have built a skyscraper on top of them. Right? Joseph says, hey, fear is an emotion.
Yeah.
He says, don't fear, for am I in a place of God? Notice the next verse. Powerful. So much emotion just grips my heart reading that. When you understand what Joseph lived through and dealt with. You thought evil against me. You did what you did intentionally to hurt me. But God meant it unto good. Because we serve a God that is in control.
Yeah.
He says to bring to pass as it is this day.
Yeah.
To save much people alive. It's powerful. We're in a week of Thanksgiving this whole week. We got a lot to be thankful for. A lot to be thankful for that we're not even aware of. We have no clue how close some of us were. The things that God has kept us from. No clue. But how I'm in control of my emotions. You better be thankful that God doesn't prove you wrong in front of everybody. Well, I'm in control of my destiny. What I have, I worked hard for. You better be thankful God doesn't pull the plug on that oxygen you're breathing right now. We got so much to be thankful for. We serve a God that is in control. And Joseph understood. He said, what you did to me, you did intentionally. You tried to hurt me. You were motivated by envy. But God meant it to good. There was a reunion. There was a family reunion that took place. There was restoration of relationships that took place. Children of Israel were in a good place for a long time. We find out later their stubbornness got the best of them. But they were in a place for a long time. And there has never been a man like Joseph since. Think about it this morning as we stand. I dare to ask you, have we forgotten that we serve a God that's in control of everything? Seriously, let's be transparent. Look at your credit card statement. You look at your bank account, your refrigerator, your health, your ministry involvement. Hey, God's in control of it all. Everything. Everything. Why don't we surrender to Him? Every day. Your broken marriage. He's in control of it all. So I preach to you this morning. Why don't we come to this altar and be thankful for a God that is in control? Come on. The altars are open. Why don't we surrender once again to a God that is in control? Why don't we be appreciative once again to a God that is in control? Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, God.
You are love.
He's in control this morning. What's he in control of, Pastor? He's in control of everything. What I don't understand, we're not made to understand. We won't understand. We can't understand everything. But He's in control. He's in control. He's in control, saints. Would you live like He's in control? Would you worship and pray like He's in control?
You give life.
Would you lay it at His feet this morning?
You are love. You bring life.
Would you pour it out on Him this morning?
To the darkness you give hope.
What is it you need to give Him?
You restore.
Full control of.
Every heart that
what is it this morning that you've been trying to keep your hands in the middle of? Give Him control this morning. Full control.
It's your breath in our lungs.
Pour it out, pour it out.
Pour out our praise. It's your breath.
Pour it out, oh God. Pour it out, oh God. I feel the Holy Ghost.
So we pour out.
He's in control of it.
In our love.